is Camden Busey. I'm sitting down here with my good friends, Jared Oliphant, who is, senior alumni officer.
Very good. That's right.
At Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we also have Jonathan Brack, who is the admissions... What are you?
Admissions director.
It's
the
late.
Director of admissions.
Those titles.
Counselor. I knew you were way beyond that. Who's a
glorified admissions.
I know. Director of admissions at Westminster Theological Seminary. And we wanted to sit down and, since we had the opportunity of being face to face and recording a bunch of episodes, try to get some audio down, some recording, just discussing a variety of topics. And we got to speaking about just podcasts in general. And that brought up all sorts of other topics that we thought we'd actually fire up a recording and, get some of this down so that we might be able to share it with others. But
we should mention where we are.
Yeah, it's a bit unusual. We're very thankful from a friend of a friend, David Filson, helped us to secure a place to meet where many of us are gathered together in kind of halfway between Nashville and Chattanooga, Tennessee, a place called near Mont Eagle. Tennessee, where we were very blessed to be able to meet in house for a week of basically study leave, but in the evenings as well to record some episodes and to discuss some things that we've been studying and to bounce ideas off one another and help each other out. And so it's a bit unusual, but hopefully the first of many opportunities to come. And tonight we just wanted to get together and just talk about some podcasts about what we're listening to and what we've been learning. First off, what apps do you use? Do you listen on a smartphone or do you listen on computer?
Smartphone.
When did you start doing that?
I've been doing it probably for about 3 or 4 years. I've been using Stitcher just to get all my podcasts in one place. And I think it's a great app to use. And so... that's what I use. All the podcasts that I want to be able to listen offline, they just download when I'm hooked up to Wi-Fi. It's a great app. That's what I use for Android. So,
yeah, I use my smartphone. I've been listening to podcasts for probably about 10 years now, actually. It started out as a local radio show, and the next one actually was Christ the Center. I remember getting an email from a faculty member saying, hey, I was, you know, I'm on this podcast. And I think it was, it was Castle Church or something, right? In the beginning.
Yeah,
I mean,
this would have been before I met you then.
Yeah. It was very, very early on. So it was first very in the secular world and, just listening to some things that are going on there, discussing current events and those kinds of things. And then noticed that, a couple professors were on a podcast called Castle Church or Christ the Center, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was Christ the Center always, but our domain was Castle Church, and that was kind of the organization name to begin with. And that the only reason for that is that's because I had the domain name.
Oh, okay.
It originally was a website that was designed to be kind of like a Reformed Christian version of Dig. I don't know if you ever remember
Dig. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Double G.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a place where you could add links to blog posts and stuff and articles and vote them up and down. And it would be this kind of link sharing social network. And this is a very long convoluted explanation, but Castle Church, it was like the Castle Church door. So like you could post things on the door.
Okay.
See, very intelligent name.
And
so that didn't work out, as you can imagine why, even though I built the system and everything like that. But then when we got to seminary and we started doing podcasts, we needed a place to put them and I had the domain. So we'd like just put them there. But then obviously over time it got very confusing because people thought it was an actual church and we didn't want that.
Yeah. And a castle.
And
so
a
expectations
castle.
Were pretty high at that point. Yeah.
So that's, I had no idea. That's how you found out about it.
That was basically, my intro to theological podcasts. And at this point, we can go into details later, but Reform Forum
What apps do you use? You use the...
I just use the basic... Yeah, I have an iPhone, so I use just the podcast app. People have recommended a few others, like you said, Jonathan, but
just for laziness, really. I haven't.
You know, I've used that before. For the longest time, I had to listen on a regular iPod, but you'd have to download with iTunes and then synchronize it,
exactly.
And it was a total pain in the butt. And then I used this convoluted auxiliary jack because I had to manually create an aux jack in the back of my stereo in my old car and do all this. Life is much better now, technologically. For a long time, I was using Downcast on iPhone, and now I use Pocket Casts, which I love. I really like Pocket Casts, and I have everything in there. So those are some options on iOS. They have an Android version, too. I think my wife has Pocket Casts on Android. And but a lot of people use Stitcher, and we're in the Stitcher directory, but we weren't for a long time until we got a bunch of listeners asking us to be. So
are those free?
Yeah, Stitcher is a free app. Pocket Cast and Downcast might be a couple dollars, but in those cases, they're actually, you kind of get what you pay for. They're very good apps.
Okay.
And they're taken care of, Pocket Cast especially. So, considering, I mean, we're going to talk about what we listen to and considering how much I use it. I mean, the one time $3 or $4
fee for
me was, I was happy to pay it. So,
yeah.
So, what do you listen to?
I've been interested in comedy podcasts for a while now.
Yeah.
And it's only because I've been interested in comedy for some reason. I'm not sure where that comes from, but it may be from, I see comedy almost as the cultural philosophers. Comics is the cultural philosophers out there. They have a unique perspective on various aspects of life. They communicate what's going on in culture in ways that are kind of overarching in some sense. So I've always just been interested in a comedic take on life because it's different from just the normal news or straight ahead version that you get elsewhere.
I find that comics are actually some of the most intelligent people, the good comics. And when they do podcasts, it's not like they're just telling a stream of jokes all the time. They're actually talking about life, and you get to see the way they view the world and how they think about things. And to be a good comic, you have to be introspective that way, and also in some way kind of deconstruct people, because you have to understand what makes them laugh and what makes them work, and conversely what makes them cry and sad and all sorts of things. And so at least the comics I've listened to in interviews and comics that interview, there seem to be some of the most in tune people, not necessarily worldview wise, but in terms of just emotional quotient, if I'm allowed to use that phrase.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Accurate.
Yeah, and there's a lot of aspects, and this is probably just subjective on my end, so I don't expect this for everyone to hit this note, but I see a lot of parallels in some sense with what preachers do in some sense, because you have an audience out there you need to connect with, and you need to almost speak a message in some sense. And there are, if you listen to comedy podcasts, you'll notice that there is so much dissection going on with the way they speak, how they word things, how they communicate certain ideas, that doesn't, you know, it, you don't know it just listening to how they say things because it sounds so natural. But when you get them into a room where they're trying to discuss like the background of an idea and something like that, you'll notice that the background to how it ends up into their act is a very, very long way to get there.
Oh yeah.
Maybe they've used different words that didn't quite hit and communicate a certain way. And in a certain sense, they're kind of exegeting culture. So I'm probably overstating this in some sense, but I've been interested in the parallels because growing up in a theologically sensitive context, it's just been fascinating to me to see this whole discipline develop almost a parallel track of noticing some things out there, trying to communicate it to an audience, and really relating to them in some sense, albeit very, very differently with all those qualifications. And of course, I'm sure we need to make a ton of qualifications in what we're saying here, as far as, you know, there are blue comics out there where we don't endorse everything that they say and how they say it and those kinds of things. But just as a start, I've been interested in those parallels.
Mm. What kind of podcasts do you listen to generally, Jonathan?
Well, I have my top three.
First off, how many podcasts just are on your are you subscribed to right now? Do you have like a number?
Yeah, probably about 35.
Wow.
And what are you on?
Mine's about 7 or 8.
41.
41. What do you guys do?
I run a lot.
You run. Okay, that's true. You're a marathon trainer. I'm not so much. And I don't even run to podcasts. That slows me down. I got to run to fast music.
It helps me not think about how much pain I'm in. And
yeah.
When I travel, or if I have to drive a long distance for any reason.
And I listen at 1.5x, so that I burn through a lot of them fast.
That's a good, well, for the listener, what does that mean? Because that's a good feature, actually.
Oh, you can, a lot of the better apps, you can speed up the podcast without increasing pitch. So I've found, for me, my wife hates this. She does not like listening to, she doesn't like it in the car or something if I'm listening to one and it's sped up. But for me, I can listen at 1.5 times the speed, 50% faster, and I don't notice it. I notice it when music comes on. So there's one podcast I listen to in particular that's very music dependent called Song Exploder.
And, oh, yes, love Song Exploder.
Yeah.
Never heard that
one. I don't want to change the feel of the music, so I listen to that. I have that one set to regular speed. Mm. But most all the other ones, spoken word podcasts, and if I'm listening to like the Great Courses or something, sometimes I'll get those from the library and rip them through my phone, and then I listen to those at 1.5x too. And so if it's an hour long, I get through that in 45 minutes.
That's smart.
Yeah.
So really, Song Exploder is one of the podcasts I subscribe to. You can start there.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah, why bother?
Yeah, what is
a lot
it?
Of
why
these
bother?
Podcasts and things I listen to are just ways to kind of expand my horizon and there are things, you know, I don't listen to podcasts instead of reading. I don't listen to podcasts instead of writing or studying or doing other things. For me, this is time that would otherwise be spent in silence or be spent listening
like
to music.
Or
listening to music, yeah.
Like, yeah, mundane tasks maybe.
Right, yeah, that too. And so I will often listen to podcasts to fill my time, and I find that I really enjoy it and it keeps my mind going. And a lot of the podcasts I listen to actually cultivate illustrations and ideas for me that I end up using in sermons. Mm. And that's not the main reason why I listen, but I find that it's good for me in conversation with other people to have things to talk about, but also just to hear stories. A lot of the podcasts I listen to are story-based. And I don't do a very good job of filing these things as well as I ought to. A way for future sermon illustrations, but I remember them and they come up once in a while and it can be a very powerful thing. But just generally speaking, I'm just a curious person. So I just listen to things because I like hearing about stuff. And Song Exploder kind of preys on my interest in audio recording and music.
Right.
And it's a podcast, I think it's through Radiotopia, which is a collective. There are really a lot of good podcasts from
excellent
Radiotopia.
Podcast there.
Radiotopia.fm. Yes. And Song Exploder will speak to a musician, a recording artist, some big names. They've done U2, they've done Tycho, which isn't a big name, but I mean, people into electronic music will have heard of them. And they've done classical composers, people that have done scores for big movies. And what they'll do is they'll have a recording and they'll speak with the person who often wrote and recorded it and deconstruct it. What they do is the host, he has basically the Pro Tools file, and he'll go through all the tracks and they'll play the parts of the song and they'll talk about how they recorded it, what they did to that track to get it to the way it sounded like, and then they start playing parts together, and then at the end you get to listen to the entire song after having gone through all the components of it. It's like a mechanics toolbox for music. It's really, really something.
I am literally on my phone, like downloading this right now. I just didn't know. I think maybe one of you mentioned it, but I have not.
Even
really
people
spent
that
some
aren't
time
interested
it.
In recording music, if you just like listening to music, I think you'll be fascinated by Song Exploder.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, one of my favorite episodes was with Jeff Beal on the intro to House of Cards.
Yeah, he did the song.
Interesting. And yeah, and he basically had to watch and get a sort of feel and theme and the ethos of the whole
series all captured into the theme.
Well, and I'm looking at it right now because I just pulled it up, and it looks like they're all about 15 minutes long. I mean, that's nothing. Most of mine are an hour or 2 hours.
No, no, right. This is just one song, and it gets right into it. It's Hrishi K. Shirway is the host. But it's interesting. He starts off the show, and he hosts it, and he concludes it. But the way they edit it, it's only the musician speaking. So he edits himself out of – you don't hear him asking questions. He edits it in a way that they just – it sounds as if it's a monologue. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
It's done really well.
The way I got into sound Song Exploder was through 99% Invisible.
Mm-hmm. A great podcast.
That's
really
one
good.
Of the best.
Yeah, 99%.
Barnabas Piper turned me on to that.
Yeah, 99% Invisible is probably in my top two podcasts.
It's also Radiotopia.
Yes. Of course, besides Reform Forum. But,
well, that's a guy named Roman Mars who was a huge public radio head, and he ended up working in public radio, but then he kind of went off on his own, and now he does a kind of a story-based... it's in the vein of a This American Life almost, but they're very interested in design.
It's
all about design, and design, good design is 99% invisible is kind of the theme of the show. And so they look at all sorts of just everyday objects and architecture and strange things. They looked at the Austin Moon Towers and did a whole episode on why they are there and what they were used for. And
the Portland Airport carpet.
Yes.
That was really funny. I mean, things that you just would not know about.
Where it came from, why it's there, why it was designed that way.
Yeah.
No, my favorite, the reason I love the podcast is my favorite episodes are the ones that just based on the title, you think this is going to be the most mundane subject in the
why
world.
Why would I listen to this? Yeah.
But then he pulls it through a sort of storyline method into, no, actually, ethics has a lot to do with this.
Oh, design. Oh, yeah.
One of my favorites was...
Stewardship. There's a lot of things there.
Who designed the cul-de-sac and why do we have them? I was like, this is going to be totally boring. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And another one was...
What makes a good flag design?
Flags, that was great. One of my favorites was the design of the handicap symbol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and all the ethics and time put in, and the decisions put into what should the handicap symbol
look
like.
Well, they even get into, like that they get into semiotics and other things, philosophy of symbols and... They had one where this woman was hired to develop signs for a nuclear waste dumpage site, and the signs were supposed to be able to be applicable by humans or future versions of humans 10,000 years into the future. So how would you do that? So how would you make a symbol that was universal through 10,000 years? And that's an episode. So
that's
crazy. There's some overlap where you get into some interesting anthropological, cultural, philosophical issues, and any true designer would say, well, yeah, that's what design's all about. But I mean, someone coming from the outside would.
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. So we got those two. What are some other high points? You got any others?
Well, I heard about 99% Invisible because it's a total chain reaction. Uh-huh. I heard about it because they did a whole podcast on sound design, and it was basically who designs the sounds that go with your digital devices, like who actually records the unlocking sound on your iPod. Uh-huh. And that podcast, that episode was hosted on Radiolab.
Tip top. I mean, love Radiolab. Top tier. They're always in the top 10 of most downloaded on iTunes, at least.
Yes. Can you explain what Radiolab does?
Radiolab takes a certain feature, some sort of abstract feature, and then does a couple of different stories about it, and then hit it from a philosophy standpoint, from a science standpoint, and from an anthropological standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent, excellent production.
It's
bring everything together.
Professional.
It's interesting.
And it's edited well, and it's in an interesting way. It's not the stale public radio type.
Oh,
exactly.
And they're I think, with New York Public Radio.
NYC.
Yeah.
I heard Tony Reinke and I were talking about this, and I haven't seen it yet. I need to search for it. But he was saying that there's a documentary about Radiolab on YouTube and describes their process. And it's something like, I'm going to get this wrong, but it's something like they have a conversation about whatever topic that they're going into and that they have produced and recorded. And then they go in and basically script that and then kind of repeat that in a more, exact way, but that also sounds live as well. So there's so much that goes into the production and the refinement
it's
kind of, how they communicate.
American Life does too.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's probably my favorite podcast as a theologian because it gives me the most examples just, you know, as far as broadening my horizons.
Uh-huh. For you to engage
like
in apologetics.
Yeah. Right. And yeah.
It's like a whetstone or a honing implement, you know, where you can really sharpen your mind on it.
Right. And especially being a Vantillian, it's just basically, this biblical worldview is applicable to all of life. And these guys just get into the details of a certain aspect of life and ask genuine philosophical questions.
Yeah. And so, theological sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There is a atheist versus theist conversations on that
Did
podcast.
Did they do the episode on the woman whose child died just a few days after birth and they donated his eyes?
Yes. Right.
That was Radiolab?
Yeah. Yeah. They did an episode on...
And that was huge because then she tracked down her son's eyes and find out what they were used for. And there was
other organs.
And there were just all sorts of interesting ethical and really spiritual implications. That was a very moving episode.
Yeah. It's almost after
getting choked up while listening to
no matter what episode you listen to Radiolabs, it's really tough, even if, you know, philosophically, just to remain a materialist.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Just in the stories they tell and how they tell them. It's really, you know, every single thing, whether it's something as abstract as falling, they did a whole episode on falling, which is awesome. Just different aspects of falling or color.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to maintain a purely rigid materialistic scientific worldview, even as you interpret the data.
Mm.
That's what I really love about Radiolab. It gives you a lot of different examples of, this is where your apologetics is very, very relevant.
Oh, yeah.
This is where your worldview actually, you know, hits concrete with just any subject out there.
Yeah. They did an episode, you know, to bring it home to current contexts and debates raging right now. They did an episode on, I think it was a baby that was born at like 24 and a half weeks or maybe 23 and a half weeks or something like that. So there was the way that Radiolab does it is it's very narratival. So they're telling a story in an incredibly unique way and in a really gripping way. Mm-hmm. And they don't hit you over the head with, well, the ethical implications are this, that, and the other. They kind of let you decide on that. And with this particular
episode, you feel the weight of the issue when you listen, whatever that is.
Yeah.
You listen. You feel like sometimes you're listening and you change your mind in a couple times because they unfold it in such a great way.
Yeah. And so obviously, you know, questions of when does life begin were circulating around this episode. And for me, as someone who's very, very active in the pro-life movement and community, it was really nice to hear this perspective without them coming to certain hard and fast conclusions. It was kind of like the listener was just led to making their own conclusions on it. There's a lot of that in it. You get kind of a common grace perspective on various aspects like right to life and some of the things you guys are saying.
Yeah, this last episode they had about, it's called Shrink. And it was just basically question the barrier of, wait, what is, when we call something life, you know, bacteria is life because it has cells that have nucleuses, and viruses, they're small, they just have a protein shell.
In some ways they exhibit life, in some ways they don't.
Yeah. Right. They did this basic, you know, as far as the data seems to suggest that actually some of these large megaviruses used to be a form of bacteria, used to be large living things, and they actually shed. They shed and became viruses.
Which seems like a devolution.
Right.
According to the Darwinist paradigm.
It's a pauper revolution of, sort of a scientific view of evolution. It's actually, you know, it's better for to continue life. It's actually better not to advance, but actually to simplify.
Hmm.
And so that's what was so interesting about that. And as a Christian, you hear that and you're thinking, this speaks right into what we're taught as far as apologetics and a biblical worldview. You just have to, you don't have to be scared of the data.
Right.
You have to actually just, the data is actually overwhelming as far as the revelation. Yeah. So that was an excellent episode as far as just, you know, basic apologetics and, you know, the jury's out on which way evolution is going.
Yeah, they seem to even in that episode, they weren't doing apologetics in the episode, and they had no concern to, but they were just interested in these viruses they found that were enormous,
right?
These bacteria that were enormous, and you know the idea was, well, they must used to have been small and grew to that size, and then the science shows that they probably were large first and then shrank, which doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So why would you according do that? To the reigning paradigm. So it almost brings up this, you know, Kuhnian idea that there needs to be a paradigm shift. And they didn't talk about any of that, but it's another opportunity
philosophy
to listen. Yeah. It's another opportunity to listen and think critically and think from a biblical worldview and just to have those opportunities to sharpen. There's another couple podcasts that are kind of similar in scope or similar in nobody does it quite like Radiolab. They're the tops, but there are other groups that do similar type things. And one of the newer ones is Invisibilia. That's from NPR.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
and they
psychological.
There's a lot of work that goes into each of these episodes, and I get it. And as somebody who podcasts and doesn't even do story based produced podcasts, we just sit down and talk. I know how hard that is. So I can't imagine doing a scripted podcast and one with a lot of research and interviews and whatnot. Yet Invisibilia came out and did like 8-10 episodes and then just disappeared. So yeah, I think their last episode was in February and they're not going to come back maybe till the fall. So some of these newer ones, they just don't have a backlog. So you might listen and then burn out on them. Just you listen to all of them and then have to wait months and months and months. So some of them are going to like season based programming, kind of like television.
And
it's a little frustrating because most people grew up and cut their teeth on podcasts that are just constant all the time out at the same time every week. And that's what we're
scheduled.
People like me have been trained to expect. And that's what we do ourselves with Christ the Center. But then you end up with, you know, groups like Invisibilia and you start to get to know the people and you're feeling you're waiting for another episode and then they just disappear.
Right.
You're like, hey, where'd my friends go?
This is maybe beside the point, but if you get more than one person who is on a podcast, the chemistry is just so important as well.
Oh, yeah.
So the dynamic interaction and syncing with the overall goal of whatever you're producing, I think that's one thing that maybe Invisibilia needs to, I don't know, maybe hone or work on, and no one's going to get it out of the gate. But the other thing that this may be beside the point, but I did notice that there was a decent amount of what's called vocal fry on
their did you read
podcast.
The articles? There was all sorts of articles about this.
Is that right?
Oh, people complaining about it.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, there you go. I'm entering into a field I have no idea what I'm stepping into, but that was something that I noticed from the get-go, just going,
You're not the only one. There were lots of complaints.
Okay. Yeah, and it's just, you know,
it's that creaky sound that is... yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so whatever word that you end with, you kind of trail off, and then you say it this way. And that's
exactly
called vocal fry.
It's called vocal fry.
There's a lot on that Invisibilia. And it's if you think of like the Kardashians, they're just, you know, they kind of almost copyrighted that where everything's like this and talking like this. And after a while, you can't handle, or I can't handle much of that.
You're not the only, I actually think even they were talking about it. I think there was an episode of This American Life, which is probably one of the most, if not the most popular podcast, where they were talking about vocal fry and the complaints about Invisibilia.
Is that right? Okay, well... You would think that I did my research on this, but I absolutely didn't.
And then I was reading
just
all
something that I picked up
articles
on.
About it. So yeah. I listened to This American Life, and that's coming out of WBEZ
huge.
In Chicago, but it's grown to be something enormous. They've spun off Serial, which should be back in a couple months with another series. They had a really wildly popular podcast, and you know, we're credited with the resurgence in podcasts, but podcasts never went anywhere. But all of a sudden now people give it, you know, some old media people give attention to podcasts and all of a sudden they're relevant again. You know, but yeah, so Serial's good, Serial. But just flipping through, I don't have to describe every single podcast, but some of the ones I'm looking at on my list,
I would listen to. Love to mention Memory Palace.
Yeah, that's one.
Story based as well. Excellent, sort of gripping podcasts that are very short, just a way to understand history from a, a way in which it's told in a really relevant contextual story. The one that got me hooked to Memory Palace was the invention of the teddy bear.
Teddy Roosevelt, right?
Yeah.
So which came first, your interest in Memory Palace or Faith of Our Fathers?
For those probably who Memory Palace.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah.
That episode was crazy.
I need to the teddy bear. That too.
It was so
That's
weird.
One on my list now.
Yeah.
There's.
I've that, got. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say I mentioned this with a ton of qualifications, and if you do not like listening to any podcasts that have that has any language at all, then you are not gonna like this because it definitely is in the explicit territory at times, but. One podcast that I listen to pretty regularly, it's also guest-based, so some of the guests I just don't know and I'm not as interested in, but there's a comedy podcast, and it's called You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes, and it's in the Nerdist family, if you're familiar with that at all. But there's a number of reasons why I listen to this, and one of them is that I actually went to college with Pete Holmes. He went to Gordon College. He was a year ahead of me, and so he went to a broadly evangelical college, and then I saw him on a VH1 show. This is going a ways back, called Best Week Ever. Some of you might be familiar with that show back in like the early 2000s, mid 2000s or whatever. And he was one of the commentators on that. And I knew him, and it was the first time I saw a acquaintance slash friend who was on TV. So it was a big deal for me. I was like, hey, I went to college with that guy. That's cool. And he was in the comedy circuit in, I think it was New York and maybe even in Chicago. And then he's in LA right now. But he does a podcast, and he has a number of actors, comedians, and it's very long form. So it's not at all irregular for the comedy podcast to go around 2 hours or so. So you put your time in. But because of his background, he would not consider himself a Christian at this point, or at least an evangelical Christian. He is friends with Rob Bell. So if that gives you a sense of where he's coming from. But he is someone who, on every single podcast, he asks the question of, what do you think about God? What do you think about where you go when you die? And these are questions asked to people like John Hamm, Aziz Ansari.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people that you have heard of, that you maybe that you watch on TV, that you listen to, that you see on TV, movies. So they're asked of people who you wouldn't really hear them in a conversation that has much depth on like Entertainment Tonight or something like that.
No.
And he goes into a lot of depth on what they think about religion, God, Christianity, whatever, you know, they're quote unquote into. So if you can handle someone talking about it from a perspective that is really just kind of searching for the right answers. I mean, he's very out there. You know, a lot of the times he's talking about, you know, divinity being in everything. And so there's a lot of almost like mysticism elements to it. But I just find it fascinating to hear from someone who was in the broadly evangelical community, now very much outside it and kind of rejects it in some sense. And is still looking for, you know, what is the answer to all this kind of stuff? And again, you know, we talked before, how do you understand this from a Vantillian perspective? And there's a lot that you can get from that in the sense that, you know, he's dealing with quote unquote religious things from a perspective that we would obviously differ from, but no one else is asking these kinds of questions. So anyway, that's a long way of saying, if you're interested in hearing quote unquote celebrities talking about things that are much more in-depth about meaning of life issues, that's one that you may want to check out.
Another one like that, but it's not with the celebrities. So it's almost like, why would you listen? You probably heard On Being with Krista Tippett.
No, I haven't heard of it.
Actually, I think Pete Enns was a guest on that episode or on that podcast, possibly a long time ago. But yeah, it's very, very eclectic. But it's on being. I mean, they talk to musicians and scientists, wow. But mostly also just religious type people. So I, for the longest time, I never liked it, and I gave it another shot a few years ago.
What's the host background?
I think she might have been some sort of like a liberal Christian chaplain at some time. But I mean, it's anything and everything.
Okay.
But there are people talking about spiritual issues and issues of death and the meaning of life and that sort of thing. I do not at all listen for just personal edification. But, you know, it keeps my mind attuned to the needs and the suffering of people around me.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to get in a bubble mindset where you're only talking to other Christians that are either in your church or your family or your close friends, and you fail to think about what other people think about these things often.
If someone visits your congregation and maybe something like this is in the air and in their mind and they're thinking along similar lines, maybe in some contexts it's helpful to have a background to how they're thinking about certain things, like, you know, is there divinity in everything and those kinds of things that these guys are talking about.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned Freakonomics.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's more of a trade one kind of thing. Of course. Explain that. It's very interesting.
That has a long
history basically too. An economic economic view on different aspects of culture. And
deconstruct, you know, the market dynamics of just oddball things,
right?
Based on their book that came out probably 2006 or so,
something like that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but it's just basically how would an economic mind view this particular social phenomena?
Mm-hmm. One I like a lot. I don't know if you've listened to the Long Form podcast.
Oh yeah, my brother's really into
that. He would be.
Yeah, journalism.
He should be a guest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, if anyone from Longform is listening, which I highly doubt. Yeah.
Longform is great because it's guys from the Longform website and organization, as well as the Atavist now. Evan Ratcliffe, I think, is the guy's name, who works for the Atavist, which is kind of a digital literary publication. And anyway, they interview journalists, generally Longform journalists, and usually talk for roughly an hour about their life and work, or even sometimes just about a piece. Maybe it's a book or an investigative piece that they've written. And it's fascinating, even as someone who's not a journalist, and I don't aspire to be a journalist, but I'm a writer.
That's right.
And so to listen to people discussing projects and writing and trying to tell a story, capturing that, trying to be clear, I find it utterly fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
And then the whole process of publishing, too, is very interesting.
People who are doing either academic writing or writing theologically, maybe for a popular level, I think there is, in the theological world, I think theologians get away with way too sloppy and lazy writing.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because
we often read bad writers, and so then we end up writing bad writers.
And you know, oftentimes I think it's if something is accurate, then it passes muster as a writing piece. And of course, accuracy is probably, you know, when you're talking theologically,
the most important thing,
but not the only thing. And so, reading articles on writing and listening to how maybe you can improve your writing is really, I think, important for any theologian or pastor who wants to communicate on really any level.
All right, trying to wrap this up in one sense, but tell me one podcast on that list that you are embarrassed is on there, that you actually don't want to, what is your guilty pleasure, that you're ashamed that it's on there, and man up, you know, give me something real, not like, well, my biggest weakness is actually I work too hard. And
those cliche resume lines.
Yeah.
What have you said? And don't unsubscribe. I see you unsubscribing.
No,
just unsubscribe from?
No, my Preston and Steve.
Okay. Oh, you actually mentioned them.
But they're skirted around. They actually keep me informed of what's going on in Philadelphia. And it's like, I don't want to get my Philly
news from the morning zoo.
And this is not an official endorsement.
No,
I apologize
not at all.
For
but I would much rather get my local news from
the studios.
Yeah, we visited there. I'm friends with a couple guys on there.
I'd much rather get my local Philly news from Preston Steve than, you know, ABC or whatever. It's just like, this is boring. And, but Preston Steve, I mean, I'm not endorsing that's on anything, your list, but they have had...
You're not, ashamed of them.
Laughing. Okay.
What's on your list that you don't want to say is on your list?
That's a good... I mean, okay, I will qualify this with saying I'm actually not embarrassed with having this on there, but I will say that it's a podcast that I don't exactly resonate with their stance on culture, and I was recently turned on to it. It's the Eric Metaxas Show.
Oh, there you go.
And oftentimes... It has a perspective that I would say it's more on the transformationalist perspective as far as engagement with culture. And, you know, if you know anybody or if you know anything about, you know, where I'm coming from in terms of engaging with culture, I don't resonate exactly with the transformationalist perspective. I probably resonate more with them than the Two Kingdom perspective. They have a lot of guests who actually think critically and in nuanced ways about culture. Again, oftentimes I don't agree with, but the guests on there do engage with culture, I think, in a thoughtful way. So I, depending on what guests he has on there, I will definitely download that.
Hmm. Good.
How about you, Camden?
Oh, you had to ask.
This is the one about pens?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Are you going to say that one? I knew it.
Yeah. This is writing pens. This is not like you pen or
no.
something.
No. Yeah, I subscribe to a podcast called The Pen Addict, which is pretty good. And it's it's a podcast.
Listen to your podcast on
what
pogs.
Could it possibly be about?
It's pens, paper, and sometimes pencils.
Oh, sometimes wow.
A special episode of pencils. Yeah. What happened to number one pencils?
No, man, they talked. Yeah.
Why are there no number ones?
You won't. These people are way in deep, but I'm interested in pens.
Why is Ticonderosa such a pretentious name for a pencil?
They talk about Ticonderoga pencils. Right? Yeah, I don't think they're as nice. I'm not into wood case pencils, but they think the black wing, I think, is the best. That's their idea.
So what are the pens that you consume?
Well, I can't afford the pens that they talk about. So
but the pens that you can consume,
you know, Bic,
what do you...
And
they talk about store-bought pens, but they're way
what
much better options.
There?
Yeah, Bic and what?
No, I do like fountain pens. I do like writing with a good pen and with good paper. You can't just use a fountain pen on just normal printer paper.
Sure.
You can, but it's not going to be enjoyable.
I like a good quill.
They talk about, maybe not quill, but like dip pens and stuff like that, if you're into that, with more art people would be, but it gets pretty geeky. But it's mostly fountain pens stuff, but yeah.
Now, why do they call it fountain pens?
Why? Like, really?
Yeah, because the ink comes out like a fountain?
No, because previously you used to have to dip the nib into the ink and then write, but then they developed a system where the pen itself holds the ink.
Mm. Okay.
So it's like a never-ending fountain of ink.
Okay. Gotcha. Wow, okay. It's a fountain. Yeah. No, I assumed that was the explanation, but fountain just sounds like a very majestic name for a pen. This fountain of ink. It's basically something that just kind of drips out. I mean, give me a break.
Doesn't just drip out. You have to have a good feed that keeps it from coming.
Well, I haven't listened to all the podcasts, so that's on my to-do list.
Anyway, yeah. But so these guys have gone. I mean, it's interesting in this podcast because they started with not liking fountain pens, and they're just talking about, like, you know, the whatever $2 gel ink pen you might buy at Office Max.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they get into these expensive or fountain pens, and then after like 2 years now they're talking about like a $200 pen they didn't like, it was junk, and then one guy has like a $900 Nakaya pen and so a couple of them, and yeah, he carries them around in his pocket and it's like
$900
for a pen. It's insane, right?
Wow. What's the
return on investment with that? I mean,
Well, for those, they're like collector's items, but I mean, I guess you're getting paid to talk about pens and you make money on a pen podcast and get sponsors for that, I guess you're rolling in it. But yeah, it's absurd. You can get a really, really good fountain pen for $14.
Okay.
A really, really nice one. Like, I mean, it'll write nicely. It's not going to like be anything you're going to have as an heirloom, but I mean, Anyway, I'll leave you with that.
What about highlighters?
They talk about highlighters sometimes too. Yeah.
Huh.
I'll have to talk to the guys and ask them.
What about a compass? You know that little pencil that's in a compass?
The compass, pencil that you use in geometry class. This podcast is all about rulers.
Welcome to Compass Podcast.
Tony Rankin's going to save me. He likes
pens. I know. I was thinking the same thing because whenever he posts a picture of like a highlighted section that he has highlighted, out of the gate, the first person to comment is not, "Hey, that's a great quote." It's always, "Wow, that's a really straight underline that you did," or "That's a great highlighter," or something like that.
I always underline with a ruler too, but
yeah.
I journal with fountain pen and a nice notebook, and it changes the experience. I mean, there's a different psychological thing going on typing versus writing with your hand.
Oh, yeah.
And part of it's just because it slows you down, but I'm not an advocate to say that, you know, you shouldn't write with a computer. I do it all the time and I love it. But for journaling, and I just enjoy the experience, having a good pen that's enjoyable to use and whatever. You could find a pen that's a dollar, and if you like it and it's great, that's awesome. So anyway, the Pen Addict, they're cool. Mm-hmm. Setting you up with a dollar pen if that's what's right for you. I'm setting you up with a $900 pen if
or
you're
blood.
Crazy.
In closing, can I suggest one episode of one of these podcasts that will directly tie to Reform Forum?
Okay, please.
And I'm not going to spoil what the episode is about, but there is an episode on Memory Palace called Distance. I think it's episode 44. And it is about a Calvinist painter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And it's excellent. I'm not going to tell you his name because that will spoil it.
Oh.
It's excellent.
Back to your thoughts in the comments.
It's a Calvinist painter, though.
We better tie this up because we're going to go off the rails.
Well, I was going to say, put your suggestions in the comments because I'd really like to hear what other people are listening to.
Yeah, I would love that too. We can find out some common connections, but I know there's a lot of overlap. I was just talking with Steve Schmidt, who's a ruling elder up in Neenah, Wisconsin at one of our OP churches. And we were chit-chatting about podcasts, and he's a longtime listener of Twit, This Week in Tech, which is one of the first podcasts I ever listened to, and I've been listening from the very first episode. I've listened to all of them. And so we had a lot in common. Who'd have thought? So I'm sure there are a lot of people that listen that are overlapping, and we can, you know, it's like a Venn diagram of interest.
True.
Yeah. Last thing for me is I'm a strong advocate for churches putting out their sermons in podcast form. And it's obviously not to replace Sunday morning worship. It's to enhance the, you know, weekly listening. If someone is in the car and they want, you know, a half hour sermon or something like that, you know, just driving to the grocery store or whatever, that's such a good edifying piece of listening as opposed to a lot of the stuff that's out there. So if you're able to do that,
set up where our sermons at our church get, once they're published in WordPress, they automatically go to the feed. We have a little trigger on a website called IFTTT, which is if this and that, and then they automatically get posted to our Facebook page, and it's great. And people download and subscribe and listen to the episodes. And I listen to other podcasts, other sermons as well. So I'm always looking for more redemptive historical stuff, especially. So if you are out there and your pastor is solid redemptive historical preacher, I'd probably like to listen to the sermons. So why aren't you podcasting them?
Because that's my question.
All right. Well, this has been fun. And, you know, you can find out more information about what we're up to at reformedforum.org. And once again, you know, comment in the comment section on the episode and let us know what you're listening to. And we hope you join us again on the Reformed Media Review.